Father, I ask that you'd give me the wisdom through your Holy Spirit to present you plainly and clearly to any ear that's listening. Jesus, I ask that you would grant this by your name. Amen. Hello, this is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. You can catch me on letsworshipjesus.com or any iTunes search query. You can dig up these podcasts, Michael Ryan's Audio Booze. Today, I want to speak about love, the key to relationships. Love is an important principle. It's the most significant principle. In fact, when asked what was the number one commandment, Jesus essentially said it was love. Love. Loving God and loving your neighbor. So, last podcast, I went into talking about love, but I want to continue to go into 1 Corinthians 13 and speak about love and what exactly it is. It's not of this world. It's not the kind of love that you see on TV. It's not romantic comedies. It's not romantic novels. It's not a feeling. It's not some overwhelming attraction or positive emotion about something. That's what it's turned into. That's what it's been twisted to become. And that's why people are so confused and overwhelmed with love, because it can be so, capricious. One minute it's strong and intense, and 1 minute it's just all just polar opposite. And it's because people have made love into emotion. But I'd like to just present to you what God has created it to be. And 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 gives a great example of what love should be. And the awesome thing about it is that it is not about your emotions. It's not about your good feelings. It's simply decisions. So let's jump in. And I really pray this would bless you. It's going to help you no matter what relationship, parent, child, spouse, employer, teacher, enemy, stranger, any relationship you could possibly have. This is the language in which you should speak. And like I said, it's not of this world. It's sacred. It's the most sacred thing that we can bring to the world as believers, is to love. So let's go into 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 13, verse 4. And let's dissect it for as much as we can in the next 20 minutes. I may get cut off. That's okay. But let's just try to dissect it as much as we can. Verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. And that's the first piece that we'll deal with. Is that love, some Bibles may say, is patient. I like this explanation in New King James, that it suffers long. Love waits even when it is hurting. Even when it causes discomfort. It's a decision, a commitment to suffer. And what's interesting about it is that it's suffering kindly. Love suffers long and is kind. You see, those are together. They're not separate. It's not love is patient, love is kind. No, love is long-suffering and kind at the same time. It's a kind suffering. That kind of love changes people. When you see someone who is bearing with some struggle, and they're not just bearing with it, but they're bearing with it in kindness, that converts people. Apply that to your life. Apply that principle of suffering long. God does it. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you think about Noah and the days of the ark, when it says in Genesis that the thoughts and the intent and heart of man was continually set on evil. And so God judged them. And you know, you think about that and you say, you know, from Noah's day And from the beginning of Adam and Eve to Noah, it wasn't that much time. God was, as holy as he is, tolerated all this sin. I mean, all it took was one sin for Adam and Eve to get exiled out the garden. Imagine the millions and billions of multitudes of sins that people were doing, and God judged them. Now, when you think of from Noah's time until now, nothing like that's happened. You know, has God been slack? No. Right here, 2 Peter 3:9, he's been long-suffering. He's suffering through this. You understand? He is suffering through the sins of the world, through the rape, the molestations, the torture, the abuse, the pride, the constant neglect of thinking about God. He suffers long, and he's kind. Titus 3:5 says, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of our God and Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." So this amazing and wonderful Father sends his Son and his kindness to us, even as we were his enemy and he was suffering through our sin. And it's an important principle for you to add in your life. Who can you apply this to? Who can you apply patiently, bearing, and with kindness? Who can you apply that to? And I encourage you, apply that, because God has applied it to you. He's applied it to you. Let's continue in verse 4. Love does not envy. It does not envy. Luke 12:15 says, "And Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he or she possesses." You see, love, it doesn't act as though it's entitled to anything, or that it doesn't set its heart on material possessions. Love is not caught up in itself in that way. Do you understand? At the heart of envy is just pure selfishness. It's a pridefulness that it's entitled to anything that it sees. And it only brings pain. Jesus says in Matthew 6:19-21, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Friends, when you treasure things in this world, when you allow yourself to treasure people or items or just fantasies, you set yourself up for pain. Jesus is giving you such a nugget of wisdom here by saying, let your treasures be in God. Let your treasures be in him, in the Father, in the Holy Spirit. Let your treasure be above, because that can never be taken away from you. It can never be taken away from you. But if you put your treasures and things on this planet, on items, on toys, on people, on whatever it may be, it'll never be enough. And it's always susceptible to be taken away, and it'll only cause you pain. And it impacts other people around you in a way that makes them feel uneasy. And so love does not envy. Love does not want what doesn't belong to it, because love is focused on above. Continuing on in verse 4, it says that love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't show off or act like a know-it-all. This is really important to sit and drink this in. If you are acting like you know it all, and someone tells you something, "Oh, I know already," or you can never say you're sorry, you can never say I was wrong. If you have an inclination to show off the things that you know or the things that you have or what you possess, it's not love. It's destructive. It's destructive. Can you think of anything that you may show off or you or you want to gloat or boast about. God says in Jeremiah 9:23, let not the rich glory in their riches, or the wise glory in their wisdom, or the mighty glory in their might, but let whoever glories, whoever boasts, whoever brags, brag in this, that they know and understand me. That is the only and most important thing a person can possess, knowing Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Do you know the Christ? Because that is true value. That is a possession that can never be taken away from you. And when you have that, you will not envy anyone because you have everything. Ephesians 1 says you've been blessed with all the spiritual blessings of heavenly places. When you have Christ, you see his sufferings and how he endured them for you. And you will be moved by his love to suffer long and to be kind. Philippians 2:5-8 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even a death on the cross. Love is a humble, humble thing. We have to be humble to each other. That's what we're called to do. Love doesn't want all the attention. It doesn't want the glory. Look at what Christ did. Christ being equal with God, equal with God, never, ever once use that as a reason for why he should have anything. He didn't show off the fact that he was God. He didn't act like a know-it-all. Jesus, Lazarus is dead. He'll be okay. We'll just keep on moving. He went. He saw Lazarus. He went to the funeral. He cried. He wept. And then he raised Lazarus. Jesus was a humble, humble man. And that truly is love. You don't want to brag. You don't want to boast. Proverbs is a wonderful verse in Proverbs that says, let your praise come from another, but not your own lips. Don't have a high opinion of yourself, of your ideas. You don't need to always win an argument or be right. The only goal you should have in a conversation is to love. It's to create peace. That's an instant victory. Jesus Christ created peace for you and I. Peace between us and the Father, that we don't have to be judged for our terrible sins. We ought to be creating peace with one another. That every conversation should be about gaining a brother or gaining a sister. You're able to apologize. Let's continue. There's not much time we have, but we'll keep on going. Verse 5, love does not behave rudely. It doesn't have an attitude problem. It does not have an attitude problem. These insights I'm giving you from love, I really think that they just aren't of this world. It's evident when you see it. We see all these things when you look at movies and media and culture and things around us. These things that I'm talking about are so dismissed. You know, of course, when someone does something wrong to you, you get an attitude about it. You know, of course, when you have a body that's attractive, or you get a degree, or you get something, you want to show it off. You want people to acknowledge you. People have honor for standing up and telling someone about themselves and giving it to somebody, not being patient and suffering long and being kind. Those things aren't important. Envying, everything around you is about envy. Everything around you is about buying this instant gratification, point and click, have your credit card, right there, plugged into the computer. You don't even need to pull it out. We have it saved. You can get what you want. Everything's about this, but just appreciate the godliness of this principle of love. It doesn't even have an attitude problem. Look, 1 Peter 3:8 and 9 says, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but on the contrary, blessing. I mean, what's ever come from having an attitude problem? What's ever come from behaving rudely? What's ever come from treating someone badly? God has done the ultimate good deed to you and I. And how can we receive such a love? How can you receive such a gift and treat others just however you feel like it? It continues on in verse 5 that love is not selfish. Philippians 2, 3 through 4 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but for the interests of others. Love is not caught up in itself. It's interested in the interests of other people. I mean, this is truth from on high, friends. And this is what the Lord has called you to do and execute in your life to other people in all relationships. Love, it says, continue on in verse 5, that love is not provoked and that it thinks no evil. It's true. Love is not easily angered. I'm sorry, it's just not easily angered. How many times do we watch a movie and we find entertainment in people who just give it to somebody, you know, as soon as the person does something out of line, they put them in check, you know. But the scriptures has the opposite way. It's that love is not easily provoked. Yeah, Proverbs has so many good things about it. Proverbs 12:16 says, a fool's wrath is known at once, but a wise man covers an insult. Proverbs 17:27, he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. 14:29 in Proverbs says, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered lifts up folly. Proverbs 29:11, a fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man stirs up trouble, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. That's the most loving thing you can do. Firing off in people is unwise, and it's foolish. It doesn't make situations better. It makes them worse. God has called you to be kind, not to be quickly provoked. We also read that love does not think evil. It doesn't keep records. It forgives. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against you, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. You see that connection, that we are to forgive because we have been forgiven. You see, if you just say you're supposed to forgive because God tells you to, that's not the whole truth. We forgive because you are walking in the forgiveness of God. You have ultimately offended and profaned God, holy God. And not only has he forgiven you, he came and personally harmed himself to do so. So let it go. Let it go, whatever you have towards someone. Forgiveness will never change the past, but it will always change the future. I'll say it again. Forgiveness will never change the past, but it will always change the future. It heals you. It heals you. It brings peace. It takes work, though. Every single point I'm making from this chapter requires work. It requires effort. And I'm running out of time. I didn't make it through each one. But if I can just say quickly that love, it's optimistic and positive. And so I want to close by saying to be that. To be bearing things, believing all things, enduring all things, hoping in all things. All things that pertain to the Lord. Be praying. But I just would like to just encourage you. I pray that God would let this sink in and that you would see the value of love. In Jesus' name, Amen.